I'm going to give you a presentation about TorchMLIR, or mainly I give you an introduction into TorchMLIR. I'm Marius, I'm with AMD. And the talk will be about, well, first of all, as it is the first MLIR talk today, I give you at least a brief idea about what MLIR is so that you heard of kind of the fundamentals. Tell you what TorchMLIR is, what the Torch dialect is, and mainly if you, as it is supposed to be an introduction, tell you how can you build a project, how can you use it, what can you do with it, and also how to get involved if you want to. So, what's MLIR? If you look at the homepage, so MLIR is essentially a sub-project of the LLVM Foundation. If you look at the homepage, mlir.llvm.org, it tells you it's a novel approach to build a reusable and extensible compiler infrastructure. I put novel into phrases here because it's not that novel anymore, to be honest. So it was like spread to the world in 2019, and in 2020 it made its way into the LLVM project. It provides an extensible way to create and design intermediate representation. So it's all SSA based. Format essentially looks like shown here. You have a result, you have your operation with inputs, you can define custom attributes, custom types, all that stuff. And to in what it is about is, like, normally if you design such an intermediate representation, that's called dialect within the words of MLIR. And it's not like you need to go from one dialect completely into another dialect. You can also mix dialects. Means, like, for example, in upstream there is an SCF dialect, structured control flow, but that can be mixed with other dialects, and you can nicely combine this, and dialects just more or less loosely scope different kind of things. So, like, Linux operations are in the Linux dialect, structured control flow has operations for do structured control flow. So, and with that said, TorchMLIR actually aims to provide to be a first-class compiler support between the PyTorch ecosystem and the MLIR ecosystem. It's participating in the LLVM incubator process. So even here, I'm on here on behalf of AMD. That's not an AMD project. It's an LLVM project, but we heavily contribute to it and use it. It's dual licensed under Apache license with LLVM exceptions, but also under a BSD star license. I think that's due to historical reasons, as it wasn't that clear back in the time if it either makes it into more like MLIR or LLVM, or goes more down the route to PyTorch. And with that said, actually the main component, it looks like the following. So if you have PyTorch, which is in the PyTorch repository, PyTorch itself comes with TorchFX, and what we have in the Torch MLIR project is an FX importer, and that FX importer allows you to go the way down to import TorchFX into the Torch dialect. So one of the main things in Torch MLIR is the Torch dialect. And furthermore, what we have in the project are conversions to other dialects, to other MLIR dialects. So these conversions also live in the Torch MLIR repository and allow you to convert to TOSA, to Linarc, but also those two are upstream dialects living in the main MLIR project. But you can there's also conversions down to stable HLO, which is more used or comes from the TensorFlow ecosystem and lives in the OpenXLA organization. So that's all what is in the Torch MLIR project. And the main thing we have is the Torch dialect. So that's the central MLIR abstraction to represent a Torch model, essentially. Mostly of this is auto-generated based on the PyTorch JIR operator registry. But we also have some manually implemented ops. To make it short, we have those for operations which cannot be automatically implemented. Among other things, for example, because they are directly supported in a JIT interpreter. Without having a corresponding operation in the registry itself, so that's why we cannot auto-generate it. We also have a Torch operator operation to represent ops, which we haven't been auto-generated. For what that is used for, I will show you in a minute. But that's the main thing. And in MLIR, this all lives, so if you look to upstream MLIR, it would be include MLIR. Here we have include Torch MLIR dialect, Torch IR, Torch Ops, That's where all the ops are actually implemented. And in line 26, you see an include. That's actually where we have some scripts that generate those auto-generated operations. That's got included here in the definition. If you want to build a project, well, you need, of course, to clone it. And there are several submodules which you need to initialize before you can build a project. So the one thing is, TorchMLIR comes with one of the Git submodules is actually LLVM, because we need to pick the right version of MLIR. You can also use a separately checked out MLIR, which you compile and install. That might work or it might not work, because you need to pick the right commit, and that's what he has here realized. We are pinning the correct submodule. If you specify depth by one, that gives you a shallow clone, so you don't clone the entire LLVM, just to let you know. It's suggested to set up a Python virtual environment and install your requirements. You need to upgrade pip if you want to play around with Torch Vision, because older pip versions normally don't fail on the dependency resolution, and you cannot install Torch Vision. In the requirements file, you also get the correct version of Torch, which is compatible with Torch MLIR. So that's all in the requirements file and should be pretty straightforward. If you want to build a project, we don't go through all this CMake magic here. I just want to highlight two things. You can either do a monolithic build, which means we are building LLVM and MLIR and Torch MLIR in one single build. And to do this, you need to enable the project MLIR, of course, which is a subproject of LLVM. And in addition to that, you need to specify that there is an LLVM external project, which is, in this case, Torch MLIR. Point to the source here, where to find the source, which is quite obvious. We are right now in the root of the repository, so it's just here. And LLVM essentially is cloned into externals, LLVM project, LLVM. That is where the Git submodule is initialized. If you want to look more into the specifics, I gave a talk 2 years ago here at the LLVM Dev Room about how to build your own MLIR dialect that covers some of these aspects as well. Gives you a little bit more background, or you just look into the MLIR standalone example, which also shows you the different ways how to build it. But it's also, of course, in the Torch MLIR documentation. The other way is do a component build. So we build MLIR independent of Torch MLIR first. So that's essentially just building MLIR without Torch MLIR at all. So it's a stripped down configuration set of what we have seen before. And we install it to build LLVM here, for example. And that allows you to build Torch MLIR against this pre-built version of MLIR. And the important flex here is you need to specify the MLIR there, where to find the project, the LLVM there, where to find the project. And that's the thing which is often missed, and you'll fail then right at the end of compiling it all. You need to point to where is the LLVM lib can be found. And that's not installed. It's still in the build here. You just need to be aware, pass it, and you'll be fine. And with that, you can actually build a target, for example, check Torch MLIR. I think this target specifically mainly works with the monolithic build. For the component build, it seemed to have some trouble when I last tried it. So normally people do the monolithic build, but that's the options you actually have. If you just want to play around with the project, there's a way easier way. So we got pre-built Python wheels, which gives you the Python API as well as some of the command line tools. That would be the Torch version, which is right now pinned down in the requirements file. So you probably want to install that one by yourself. Here we point to the nightly CPU wheels. So if you just pip install Torch, that pulls in all the CUDA dependencies. There's also a ROCm version available on pytorch.org. But to be honest, if you just want to play around with it a little bit and don't need to use to offload anything on a GPU, go with the CPU versions, as those are way smaller and they don't bloat your disk space that much. We do it in our CIs specifically all the time for the small tests. You need to install Onyx. If you also want to import Onyx models to Torch MLIR, we get to that in a second. And then you can just install Torch MLIR from, essentially, that you find this link in the command in llvm/torchmlir release as well. And then you can play around with it. So a simple torch model could look like the following. So here we have just a torch in and module with an init and a forward path. And what you simply can do to get it translated or imported into torch MLIR is you use the torch MLIR FX, use export and import, call it in your model, say what do you want to have for an output. Here we say torch to get into the torch dialect, and that's it. Then we are in torch. For Onyx, it's a little bit different. So you can just, for example, download a model which is pre-trained on the MNIST data set. And then you can use the command line tool, torch MLIR import Onyx, which comes also with the Python wheels. Pass the Onyx file to it, specify an operator set version. What this does is it raises the operators that are in the model to a specific version you specify. That can be quite advantage if you want to later on compile your model. Opset 17 is what we are normally using. And output the MNIST MLIR file. So, and such an MLIR file looks like the following. I cut it down to the most important parts. There are constants in there, like all the weights are in the MLIR file. We don't want to look at that. But essentially, here you have an Onyx add, an Onyx ReLU, and an Onyx max pool. But that's only names. So the actual operation is torch.operator. And this torch.operator needs to be lowered somehow. And that is where what is implemented, and it's just like pathing the name for this op, and later on we need to process it and decompose it into other ops. So for example, this could look like the following. In MLIR, or in torch MLIR, normally files are structured as follows. So you have lib conversion, and then we have torch onyx to torch, which is the conversion path to lower this torch.operator ops, which then have Onyx ops in it, to torch ops. For an apps op, it's quite easy. So first of all, you have the name apps. One is the operator set. So you can also, for some of the operations, there are different operator sets supported. Or if you need to check why is my Onyx operation not supported the way I think it should be, that might be one of the reasons that the operator set version is not what you expected. There's some syntactic sugar there, but essentially we see the rewriter, and that has a replace op with new op, and we just replace this torch operator op with a torch aid and apps op, and that's it. So for that simple ops, it's quite straightforward, or we get then from Onyx to torch. For other ops, it's a little bit different. One of this is, for example, average pool, and that's the thing. You might notice that the Onyx op in general is supported, but several attributes are not. And here, for example, there is an attribute which is called AutoPad, but that's not supported. So there are many operations which are supported in general for a specific opset, but it might not be that the options are fully supported. So that needs to be something where you should be aware of, but that's also slightly a good way to get yourself into torch MLIR if you want to contribute. There's also a decomposed complex operation path. So for some things, like for here it's hard shrink, we replace this by way easier ops. So essentially, you end up with some simple lesser than scalar op, a greater than scalar op, and some other ops. So that is also a way. Where it is placed, it's now in lib dialect torch transforms, and that's because we are not leaving the dialect. So we are working on the dialect, replacing ops of the dialect with other ops of the same dialect. That's why it's normally called a transform, and why you find file there. Pipelines. Pipelines is another important thing, of course. So when we have a single conversion, you normally don't want to stick with a single conversion. You're doing multiple conversions. And if you do multiple conversions, you can put them together to build up a pipeline. Those are the pipelines that are available right now in Torch MLIR. And the most important ones are probably the Torch backends one. Either you can look into Torch Onyx to Torch backend pipeline, which shows you how to get from a Torch Onyx up to Torch. But as I mentioned, and if you want to run a model, you don't want to end in the Torch dialect. So the Torch project itself, it depends a little bit from where you come from. If you look at the full stack, we have a machine learning model and want to execute it, Torch is somewhere in the middle. From a compiler perspective, Torch is more like in the front, so it's a front-end dialect, but it's not to be used as standalone. So we use it in our compilers as a front end mainly to get a PyTorch model or Onyx models into the compiler. But then we go all the way down to Linux on tensors, and then our compiler takes over, does more magic, lowers this all to LLVM CPU, for example. But if you just want to use TorchML IR, that's possible. There's a Ref backend, which is not included in the Python wheels. So you need to be aware that it's right now you would just copy over the files from the repository or build from source. So that's the TorchML IR E2E test suite, which is there. And essentially here, our output type is not Torch anymore. It's Linux on tensors. And then you can just say, OK, please backend, compile it, load it, and there we go. So how to get involved? So a good thing is maybe you want to import and lower a model by using TorchML IR OPT. It's worth to also look into what do the pipelines do. If I just take one of the conversions, like convert Torch Onyx to Onyx, what's the next step? How do I lower it further? Like Torch Decompose Complex Ops could be an option. How do I need to, when should I use the canonicalizer? All this stuff is set up in the pipeline, but to get familiar with it and what it does, it's quite good to just use the command line tool and hack your way into it and just try to see what it does, compare IR before and after. If you have issues, fill issues, please. If you have questions, you can also do this by directly in the repository in the issue tracker, but it's most it's often the better way to just join discussions on the LLVM Discord. And what we normally did with new starters, and what's quite nice is we let new starters implement new ops which were unsupported. So right now, many of the ops are already supported, but as I mentioned, not every attribute is supported. So if you want to get a hands-on, really, try to see what attributes are missing. Hopefully there's a to-do there, but maybe you also noticed when you lowered your model that something is not working as you expect, and then try to implement or add support for one of these attributes which belongs to an Onyx operator, which is also specified in the Onyx documentation. So this is also a pretty good one to look into. What is the op should be suspected, or you try to implement an Onyx op with a different op set and try to add support for newer attributes, essentially. So yeah, and that's my brief introduction into TorchML IR. Please.
In the pipeline slide, there was one pipeline named simplification. That sounds super interesting. Can you expand on which kind of simplification or optimization you're doing?
Yeah. So I was asked, or the question was, there in the pipelines overview, we have the Torch simplification pipeline, which sounds quite interesting. If I can get a comment on, or if I could comment on what it does or what's in there, and to be honest, no, I have no idea. No, I would need to look it up, to be honest. So it might be that there are some shape computations, which could be the thing. We definitely have some shape refinement pipelines also. Simplification might be that. It might also be that it is what I mentioned before, like this decompose complex ops, that is part of the specific pipeline, but I don't know that one in particular. What passes that in? I'm sorry.
Question about the kind of motivation of this project. Like, ONNX can do most of these things, and why?
So the question was about the motivation of the project, and that Onyx can do most of the things as well. Can you? Well, I think you're referring to the Onyx MLIR project then.
Yeah.
So you're right that for Onyx that's for sure true, but for Torch I think it's not. So if you really want to implement, or if you convert a model from Torch to Onyx, that's often painful. That's at least what people tell me who are more on the model side. And that's why it's mainly intended to provide a native way to get Torch into MLIR. That's why it's the Torch MLIR project. From a historical perspective, it started as NPComp, which was like more NumPy front-end specific, then switched gears a little bit, and it's for Torch. And I think that we have Onyx is just more or less like you can just work all the way down with the same stack to not pull in even more. One last, if I have time, go for it.
Hey, you showed an example of rewrites as a sort of visitor pattern as a C++. Do you have a DSL approach? So like when you see something like this S expression and rewrite it as another one, like we leave in the table gen and similar stuff?
You mean for here, for that one, or? Yeah, no, I think we don't do it in table gen, but I cannot tell you why we don't do it or why it's done that way. Maybe because people don't really like to write table gen.
Doesn't sound right, but...
All right.
And on that note.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.